Chris has asked that as an introduction to his subject tonight, we read together Isaiah 35. This is a prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 35, reading from the ESV. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I'll ask for your careful attention then, please, as we hear Chris speak on his subject, What on Earth is Going On?
What on earth is going on? Okay. Okay, sorry about that. What on earth is going on? A phrase used as an exclamation, usually to divert attention or attract attention to the person who utters that phrase. An attempt to restore some form of order to a situation where normal rules of proper behaviour seem to have given way to a general free-for-all. Words, perhaps, that a teacher might shout out in a raised voice to a classroom of school children who have been left unattended for just a few moments when chaos seems to have broken out. Or perhaps a question asked by annoyed parents returning to find a teenage party in full swing in their home. An appropriate question, perhaps, to be asked when we consider the state of the world we live in. What on earth is going on? For there seems to have been some kind of tectonic shift in the world we live in. It seems that most people go about in a way that behaviour is unacceptable. Everyone seems to be rushing from place to place with no time to wait. Quality seems to have given way to quantity, and greed and consumerism have replaced neighbourliness and care for the common good. You may think I sound like your grandfather. Perhaps I am showing my age. After all, I am nearly 60. Now, I know that's hard to believe, but I am nearly 60. Well, perhaps you are right. Perhaps I am showing my age. Because I remember 55 years ago, I used to walk to school on my own without adult supervision, 2 miles. That is almost unheard of today. Now the school run has become a feature of daily life because our streets are not safe for 5-year-olds to walk out alone. 45 years ago, access to hard drugs like heroin and cocaine was limited to the rich and the famous. Today, we know that such drugs are freely available on any street corner. Then, homosexuals were more discreet. Now we have gay pride marches, civil partnerships, same-sex marriages. It seems that it's the heterosexuals who are out of step with what is considered normal. 35 years ago, the first house that Judy and I bought cost us the grand sum of £16,000. 6 months ago, our son and his new wife moved into their first home. It cost them £250,000. House prices have increased much more than average income. So many of the young today can only dream of having a home of their own. Consequently, homelessness has become a national shame, causing beggars and rough sleepers to become a feature of most town centres. So we ask, what on earth is going on? The drive to balance our nation's books has seen a much criticised implementation of an austerity programme by the government. But while the budgets of essential public services are drastically reduced, we hear of members of Parliament and the royal family being given a pay rise. We hear of highly paid financial executives receiving £1 million bonuses, and then hear on the next day news that they've been sacked for not doing the job they were paid to do. We have a shortage of doctors and nurses because we don't pay them enough. And then we hear of football players being paid hundreds of thousands of pounds a week. And that's even when they don't play. Is this right? What on earth is going on? Well, you might say that not everything has changed for the worse since I was a young boy. And there have been significant advances in science and medicine and technology that have contributed to a better standard of living for most of us. Most homes today include a microwave oven, a tumble dryer, at least one colour television, and definitely some form of computer. Where it used to be the privileged few who had access to their own telephone, today, most children have their own mobile telephone. New drugs and procedures have minimized, if not removed, the effects of many diseases that were considered terminal by previous generations. And average life expectancy has increased accordingly. But these improvements to living standards have brought their own problems. Extended life expectancy has increased the burden on the National Health Service, and limited funds struggle to provide promised retirement benefits. The desire to possess the latest gadgets has made us more materialistic and dissatisfied with what we've got. Insufficient finances result in loans and debts, or theft and acts of crime, deceit to meet greed. We have all become familiar with the term cyberbullying, one of the downsides of the influence of social media, which sadly the inscrutable use to take advantage of the vulnerable. The prevalence of computers means explicit pornography and images of graphic violence are easily available to young children. Shame on us. What on earth is going on? In recent years, we have experienced more extreme variations in the weather than in the past. Despite winters of snow and ice, torrential downpours and severe floods, water levels in reservoirs and lakes are diminished, and rivers and streams in danger of drying up when the dry season sets in, as it has so recently. News reports of earthquakes and tsunamis and volcanic activity don't surprise us as much as they once did. Due to mismanagement of the Earth's natural resources and careless pollution, scientists tell us the world's climate is changing. We're all familiar with the terms global warming or greenhouse effect, a carbon footprint. Back in 1997, the United Nations agreed together that all developed countries should act to reduce carbon emissions. But still, in the year 2017, some 20 years later, the United Nations confirmed that the previous year's atmospheric CO2 levels were the highest recorded ever, despite their good words. Methane levels have also reached record highs. Now, surely actions speak louder than words. What on earth is going on then? You may say that the very mention of the United Nations organization shows that not everything is worse than it was. You might remind me that 100 years ago, millions were killed on the muddy battlefields of France. Today, modern politics and diplomacy work to ensure that such a conflict is never seen again. You may be right. Perhaps modern warfare has progressed. We're all familiar with the Geneva Convention and human rights. But unnecessary death, oppression, and destruction is still inflicted on the innocent. We're only to think of what's been happening recently in Syria and Afghanistan and parts of Africa. The threat of being gassed or bombed has moved out from the trenches and resurfaced in our city centres. Ordinary everyday vehicles are used as weapons to mow down and mutilate citizens and tourists. Too frequently we hear of mass shootings in schools and colleges, and we wonder, is anywhere safe? What on earth is going on? Having been established to promote world peace, the United Nations organization remains impotent to prevent lesser nations like North Korea and Iran continuing to develop nuclear weapons, regardless of sanctions that it has imposed. So what on earth is going on? Perhaps you feel that I've been unfair, that I've presented a biased view, that the world is a hopeless state. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't think you can argue that the world isn't in a mess. It is full of people with worries and fears and problems and stress. But yes, you are right. It is not all doom and gloom. There is hope for a better world. Hope centered on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish God's kingdom on this earth. This is the true Christian hope. Not pie in the sky when you die, but being part of a great golden age on this earth that God has promised to all those who trust in him and do their best to honour him in their life. This Bible reference tells us about that time when Jesus shall return. I'm sure you're able to read that for yourselves. I won't read it for you. But just take note of what a difference the world will be at that time. In the prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer is the request, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And when we read the Bible, we learn that it is God's will that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. In the beginning, when creation was completed, God saw everything that he had made, we're told, and behold, it was very good. It was when the first man and woman decided that they knew better than God that trouble started. And things have been going downhill ever since. In the beginning, God explained what is necessary for men and women to enjoy full life of peace and contentment. The Bible relates how that generation after generation have neglected to follow those instructions God gave. And the Bible tells us how God chose to interact with one nation that the Bible calls the children of Israel. And he chose them to be his witnesses, to demonstrate his greatness, and to show the benefits and consequences of obeying and disobeying his way. Despite many setbacks, and mostly in ignorance, that nation still bear witness to God today. Throughout history, this chosen people repeatedly veered off course, and God repeatedly raised up leaders from amongst them to steer them back on track. He brought them safely through bondage in Egypt, from captivity in Babylon, persecution from the Romans, and attempted annihilation by the Nazis. Although these interventions brought some positive response from the faithful few, most quickly reverted to following the ways of the nations around them, just like the rest of the world we live in today. Anticipating from the beginning that this would be the case, God has a plan to permanently remove all who ignore and neglect him, and to preserve those who try to please him by at least attempting to live his way. And that plan is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, on his life, his death, and his resurrection, and his return to this earth to re-establish the kingdom that has been promised. The kingdom that will rebuild what was the state in the Garden of Eden. So what on earth is going on? God's will. That's what's going on. If we only open our Bible, we can read what is God's will for this planet we live on. Passages such as these describe the prospect for all who trust in God. That God's dwelling place will be with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. Although we may be fearful and worried, we live in an age when the unfolding of God's will is becoming more and more apparent. Jesus explains how, to the disciples how things will be just prior to his return. And I'm going to ask for Andy's assistance in reading these verses to us.
They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations, in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken.
Does that ring any bells with the way the world is today? Again, Andy, can you read to us these words? Sorry.
Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains.
Thank you. These times that we've just read about are known in the Bible as the last days. And we believe that we are living in those days. And this again reflects a world in which we live. In the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Again, does that ring any bells to you in the world in which you live? Now remember, we said that Jesus instructed his disciples to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now I think we all know that heaven is God's dwelling place, where he reigns in holiness and glory as the supreme being. God's will from the beginning was that he would dwell on earth with his creation. But through human disobedience, a rift occurred, and considerable changes are necessary on our part before this impediment can be removed, so that God can directly interact with us again. For God is holy by nature, and as we have seen, men and women are not. God has made provision for our deficiency in the form of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who he sent on a mission to save his people from their sins. And that man, Jesus Christ, lived in complete obedience to the Lord God, his heavenly Father. But although God's Son, Jesus was born mortal and shared the same nature as you and I. Jesus got tired. He knew anger. He knew pain. But unlike you and I, Jesus didn't live to please himself. His will was to please his heavenly Father. And so Jesus is the antidote to the man Adam. As man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And that is why we are called to repent, to change our ways from being in Adam to being in Christ. By believing in him and accepting the salvation that has been prepared for us through the sacrifice of Jesus, and how he showed faith in trying to live as God required. You're all aware of those words, I'm sure, the most famous verse in the Bible, but one that carries the very truth. Of course, it has never been God's will that there should be pain and suffering, hunger and want, war and oppression. For the most part, these have been brought about by human selfishness, our own greed and hatred, or as the Bible puts it, man's inhumanity to man. God has done all he can to help us see sense, yet the majority choose to ignore him. They pretend he doesn't exist. And the consequence is a world full of trouble and heartache, where men and women say, "What on earth is going on?" But the world in store for all who are put right with God by belief and baptism into the Lord Jesus Christ has a much brighter prospect. Words of Jesus: when these things begin to take place, straighten up your heads, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. What on earth is going on? Redemption is drawing near. What are you doing about it? Thank you for listening.